research and development before we ever put out a product, because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us, because what we say is in them is in them, because they work, because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back, and because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Leader Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet to detect gene doping in thoroughbreds. And we endorsed the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, hour two on this Tuesday, and of course, still weekend recapping going on because of the Monday holiday, but John Sadler managed to win, I think each of the 3 days of the weekend. Saturday, he wins the Mallaire for George Krikorian, and then comes back on Sunday in the Daytona, wins down the hill with Bran, and then last night at Lone Star with Park Avenue. So, John, you made the most of the holiday. Well done.
Yeah, thank you. It was a good weekend. We won six overall and three stakes, so it was a good 4 days.
Well, and let's start with Saturday, because you always are delighted when you've got something for the Mallaire, because it means a lot to you. And I could tell that based on some tweeting and some quotes and whatnot, you were thrilled for a big switch to come back and for this three-year-old filly to win for George.
Yeah, really, it was nice. You know, Mallaire was kind of the horse that put me on the map many years ago. He was undefeated, second in the Eclipse, and was just a really special, special horse. And recently, she had two owners, and the other partner died about a couple months ago. So it was a race I'd never won. I presented the trophy in it a lot of times, and I haven't run it that much. But so it was fun to win it. It was good day.
Well, and one of the underappreciated stories continues to be Mr. Big, and you know, from limited, I don't know how many mares he's covering a year, but you know, there's a steady parade of winners.
It really is. You know, I've had the other filly called Hot Knot, no, Big Novel, you know, and she was takes place quite a few times. So, I mean, they look like runners to me. I've had nothing but nice ones.
Well, the win here, and she had won that Del Mar Stake, right? Yeah, the Golden State last fall, and around Breeders' Cup time, and as part of the Breeders' Cup undercard. And so this is her first not just a stake win as a three-year-old, but her first win of the year. She had tried the Santa Inez. Those waters were a little deep. John, did I send you the... I don't think I sent you the figure. Did I? 81 buyer for her. So career best, a little bit above that one in the last year.
Yeah, she's a little unlucky this year. She, I ran her on the grass one time, and she didn't like the grass. And, you know, she's a great big filly, and really looking forward to this race last Saturday. Get around two turns. And, you know, I always thought that would be her best. So it was great for her to show what she could really do. And we've always thought a lot of her. We just had a couple blips and then got her right back on the good foot on Saturday. So very happy.
Well, plenty of opportunities for nice calibred three-year-old fillies and a long way to go. And, you did run her down the hill against open company, too. And she actually ran okay there.
Yeah, but I could tell it, well, you know, wasn't her best, you know. I really, she had the one that day, and she just didn't seem like, the jockey said she didn't seem like she loved the grass. So back on dirt with her, and there's a nice stake for her at Del Mar. It's called the Fleet Treat. You know, it's like 175,000, you know, calibred three-year-old filly. So we'll be pointing for that one at Del Mar.
Well, speaking of down the hill, let's talk about the Daytona win. And being on the lead isn't always the best formula, but Bran, a winner. And I think I said yesterday, just kind of surveying the weekend, John, that it feels like this is a pretty versatile gelding. And, you know, horses that run well at 5.5 but then can negotiate the hill, that shows some tactical foot. It feels like you're still feeling your way with Bran.
Absolutely. He's a horse we bought in the Ark sale. Bought him reasonably, but I think, you know, at 80,000 pounds. He's already made quite a bit of money. He's a really nice horse. You know, I think he's pretty versatile. He's shown that. We ran him, you know, on the turf, on the flat. We ran him down the hill. And he really run a, you know, the race that really set him apart was the race he didn't win, which was the race at Churchill. He ran so well that day in that big turf sprint. It was a little bit unlucky. Might have been a little even closer, you know. So he's just a nice horse, and he's one of those real kind of hickory geldings that could be a lot of fun. You know, the idea would be to run him maybe once at Del Mar, and then, poor boy, he's got that Kentucky Downs, you know, sprint all over his head, you know, so he'll probably have another trip back east after Del Mar.
I like it, and of course, the purses are pretty good at that old Kentucky Downs.
Yeah, I think they are.
We'll look for him. This of course is Costa and the Aronis team, and really other than the San Simeon, he really has been close to at least he's cashed a check in every start.
San Simeon he ran well. You know, I mean he's never thrown an off race. Always thrown a good race. And like I said, we're still learning about him a little bit. We didn't necessarily think he's going to the front's his best, but the way the race shaped up the other day, he looked like he was the only horse that had some speed. So I said, you're crazy not to take advantage of it.
You know, we should really fold in Juan Hernandez as well. And of course, he really picked a good time to make the move, you know, to Southern California, John. And you've had real good success with him.
Yeah, he's a really fine young man. He's a good rider. I had some luck with him when he was here the first time. And then, you know, the rule became I'd only really ship to Northern California if he could ride the horse. You know, so he was doing really well up there. It looked like it was the right time for him to come back. And, you know, things have fallen into place for him, and he's doing really well. So when you meet him and you talk to him, it's hard not to like him.
Yeah, and even with some of the tumultuousness of the jockey colony situation right now at Southern California, he's obviously in the firmament now as one of the top riders in the colony. You managed though to ship to Lone Star and you found a jock there too, Victor Espinoza. Talk about Park Avenue. You know, it you always want to go favored. It's nice to go someplace in a stake and be favored, but you know, you also have to live up to billing. This ended up being a pretty exciting race last night in the Ouija board.
Yeah, it really was. You know, when you go over there and then you enter, you get the, you know, like the outside post of the bio, you're a little, you know, hope this goes all right. But he rode her very well. She's a nice filly. She, you know, I guess she's showing she's going to be better on grass. She's 2-for-2 on turf. I mean, I've always thought she could run on either surface. But a quality road filly, you know, the stakes winner is like, you know, a rare red wine. They're just going to get better with age and something everybody wants. So that was a really good win yesterday over there for her. The support for her, she stakes place, you know, important for her to win a stake. So that was a good, really good day.
And she got hooked by that Avenue de France, Florent Giroux. It's funny, you and Leonard Powell had to ship to Texas to hook up.
Yeah, that was similar, you know, but they look like the two, you know, two quality horses in that field. So pretty true to form. So it was not an unexpected result.
You know, it's kind of funny, actually, that somehow, and of course, Park Avenue's, you know, she's a 4-year-old, so she's only had time for, you know, 5 months of starts. They had not hooked up before, so it'll be interesting. I think it'll be tough for them to avoid each other going forward, no?
Probably. I mean, they'll probably see each other, you know, in some other races, so... Like I said, we'll keep our filly on grass, so we'll look forward to what's down the road. She's a lovely filly, and she's, you know, had a few races that I've never lost confidence in her. You know, so she trains like a good horse, and you know, I probably made some mistakes, but it was good to get that one yesterday.
Well, and I just see that the numbers from Lone Star last night have posted in terms of buyers, 91 buyer career best for her last night.
Oh, good. That's great.
There we go. Park Avenue, and she was, you know, she was a $450,000 Keeneland purchase, and I do see notable, John. She was a May foal too. So,
yeah,
you know, she's a young four.
Yeah, she's a young four, and she had a couple starts at two, and then she missed a little time. So, she's a horse that's still got a lot of racing ahead of her, and I think she. They'll be right to continue to improve as she gets a little older.
Well, who picked this horse out?
David and Gordo and John Sadler. So,
nice.
I was there. We bought her. You know, I think we bought Rock Your World in that group. So yeah, we got a couple of nice winners out of there.
Well, and I'm just looking this one out of. The Indian Charlie mare, remarkable. Her first. This is her first stakes. Baby. There's a Spitestown gelding. That's a 3-year-old, and a Mastery yearling, who's actually been named Premium. Peter Blum, who certainly breeds his share of nice horses. All right, Park Avenue, and didn't the Hesses, right? The Charlie Hess had Park Avenue Ball. I knew there. I'm thinking there was a Park Avenue in my mind, and that's what it was. Park Avenue Ball was, I think, the Hesses. John, you mentioned that you had three other winners, and let's at least touch on one of them. I know you had that maiden winner. Was it Little Nass? Was that?
Yesterday? That was yesterday. Yeah. That, yep.
Yeah.
That was Nass. Yesterday. And we had two on Friday, Divine Armor and Frontier Market. But, you know, the storyline out of yesterday is so classic. It'll be so much fun going forward is, you know, Rad Ortiz came out here and said, you know, Pratt, don't forget me. You know, so that's going to be a great duel going forward. You know, talk about exciting times, you know, with riders And that, I think that's going to be one of the real storylines in the second half of the year. Because it was, it felt like that out here. You know, he came into Pratt's backyard and really put up some spectacular rides yesterday. So
that's
going to be fun.
That's true. I hear you. Tell me about this cowbred, Cicero Farms. It's one of their homebreds.
Yeah, he's a nice horse. We always thought he could run. He had a curb last year a little bit, so missed some time. I trained the father that he'd be Fire and Ice. He's standing in California. He's getting some pretty nice runners. And I ran him in the Breeders' Cup mile. He was a pretty good horse. So he's an unusual heat, so most of them are grass. But it's good win, you know, good win yesterday, and he'll have a lot of conditions at Del Mar, that horse. You know, Calbred, non-winners of one, looks like he'll run long and short. So looking forward to this summer with him also.
You brought back Famous Star, the Frosted Colt, the three-year-old for George Krikorian, and this is a Krikorian homebred, but from Kentucky, and there's feels like there's something there with Famous Star.
Yeah, he was a good second, got beat by a four-year-old the previous race, and yesterday he fought, and those are good, tough races, you know what I mean? They're, I was proud of his effort. I thought he ran really well. He's going to probably get there pretty quickly. When I catch maidens in California, you catch some pretty fancy fields. So, it was a good race and looks like a nice horse.
And there you go. So that kind of runs it down. And, John, how about looking ahead? Let's glance at Spirit Maker coming back in a kind of a starter spot.
Yeah, we were trying to get him a little easier this week, dropping him in a little bit. So that's on Friday, kind of a quiet weekend. Then next week, the big shift is to New York. Flight line for the Met Mile.
Well, we were going to get to that and talk a little bit about preparations and that field. There has been more speculation about who and what, and sounds like you're excited.
Yeah, I am. I mean, he had a beautiful work yesterday. We really kind of got lucky with his timing a little bit because Pratt was out here to ride, so he flew in. Sunday night after he rode a Belmont and worked him yesterday, and he was very happy. Really good work. We're kind of right where we want to be. We have some things next week. We got to ship and fly and everything like that. But the horse is doing really well. And you've seen his races. What he can do. So, and he's going to need to do it. He's going to be running against tougher horses than he's running in here in California. And so we're looking forward to taking on next week.
John, expand a little bit, about, I don't know even know what to call it, the speculation and the armchair quarterbacking that goes on about how much this horse should run and why the big gaps between starts. Explain your approach and help people understand why you're laying out the schedule you are for him.
Well, it's very ambitious, because to go, he won a Group 1 in his third start, we go right to another Group 1, so it's an ambitious schedule, but we think he's capable. He's that kind of a horse. And the gaps between races are, just circumstantial. After his second start, he popped a quarter crack, so he missed the opening of Del Mar. He got a race late there. And then on the third start, we didn't want to go in a non-winners of one right into the Breeders' Cup. Even though it looked like he could have won it, I said, no, let's develop this horse and have a good four-year-old campaign to run the stream. Then we're going to run him here another time, and then he had come up with a little issue with his hock. And these are, not big issues, but you're not going to take a horse, you're never going to take a horse of this quality and force them into something, you know. So we're doing what we're supposed to be doing and taking good care of him, and then we'll go from there. One race at a time approach.
Well, sure. How much attention do you pay to the online chatter and the kinds of things people have had to say about him and his placement?
No, I don't think I even looked at it. You know, my job is to train this horse and to have him the best he can be, and that's what I'm doing. And what I'm excited about is he's doing so well. It's going to be fun. It's going to be on the big day over there. It's going to have some, that speaker's corner. That's the one I've been looking at, because I think he's undefeated there at Belmont. That's a really good horse. So it's going to be a really exciting race.
The Met Mile, there's plenty of people that get upset that it wasn't run yesterday on Memorial Day, but, particularly on a year like this, where the Belmont is the Belmont. It'll be very entertaining, and it's an important Grade One, winding down and wrapping the Triple Crown. But I think once we get this card drawn next Tuesday, as much focus will be on the Met as on the Belmont by the time we start to take this card seriously next week.
Yeah, and I'll leave all the commentating for commentators, I'm just going to do my thing, and that's what I always do. And like I said, this is a very special horse for me. So I'm really looking forward to next week. So we'll be there.
I love it. John, out of curiosity, when Flightline works, do you have to call Jane and Costa and Terry, or do you just call Costa and he disseminates the information?
Actually, West Point has been getting their girls. Nancy DeLossi's been out for most of his work, so she's got a list to see. She zaps the video out to everybody. So everybody gets the group's text, and everybody gets a video. So. And then I talked to David and Gordo, who I work closely with, and he's back there with everybody. So, the word gets out pretty quickly.
No, as closely followed as Flightline has been. Well, looking forward to next week. We'll be at Belmont to broadcast all next week, starting Monday. John, let me ask about one other stable star. What's up with Edgeway?
Edgeway, we gave her a couple weeks off after the race at Churchill. She kind of got caught in the speed duel, and was a little disappointed we didn't run a little better in there. But she's fine. She's back, and she's gearing up for a start at Del Mar. So we'll go from there.
Excellent. All right. And then this time of year, the standard question, how you fix for two-year-olds, when are we going to start to feather them in?
What's that?
Your two-year-old roster.
Yeah, I have a proper class this year. This is we kind of took a year off with COVID. We're a little uncertainty what was going on, but I've got a probably the best group I've had in two or three years with the two-year-old. So we're really looking forward to the two-year-old race, and we should might have my first two-year-old starter in June, and then be cranked for Del Mar.
Excellent. Well, it sounds good. And a final horse to ask about that I took an interest in, that Kirsten Bosch of Keith Abrams. This is a Midnight Lute filly that looks like she's going places.
It really does. She's going to run in these Summertime Oaks. There's a race I won with Stellar Wind. It's in about, I think it's the day after. I think it's the 12th. And she really wants to run long. She broke her maiden in a mile and eighth, but I feel she's best on dirt. So we kind of went in the prep race the other day of idea of getting her ready for the Summertime Oaks. So she finished a good second come running. So I'm looking forward to that race. I think it's on, like I said, a week from Sunday.
I'm glad I asked, because I she caught my eye, and first in the maiden breaker, and then in that Angels flight. This is a nice one. This is, and Keith Abrams is the guy that had Get Funky a million years ago.
Had Get Funky, and we had Selcourt. He keeps about two or three mares in Kentucky, and loves to breed, and really puts a lot of thought into his breedings, and. You know, he's been remarkable, you know, where he's gotten to horses before they went real expensive, you know, and he's a good small breeder, and you know, you don't always, you know, you get what you get when you breed, but he gets more than his fair share of good ones.
It looks like this is the newest, and you talk about a value, $15,000 for Midnight Loot can't be beat at Hillendale. John, this was fabulous. We will see you early next week at Belmont Park.
Yeah, see you over there.
You got it. John Sadler, everybody. You too. John W. Sadler on Twitter. John's got two. He's got Sadler Racing, and then he's got John W. Sadler. I know. It's some... Yeah, and I think he's, it's funny, I think he's gone pretty much, he does both, I think. He, I don't know if he handles the John W. himself, and then, you know, somebody in the barn handles the Sadler Racing one. But yeah, they're both equally, well, let me see, pinned, see if the racing... Yeah, the Sadler Racing, still very active, as well as John W. Sadler. And does he have, he's got a picture, but does not have that. Here's the tail end of the flight line workout. And that is a nice, that was a nice luxury to have Flavian. No, he's just all on his own. So big day yesterday for workouts between flight line, prepping for the Met, and then over, at Churchill, Rich Strike. Preparing for Belmont, and there I mentioned they're going to draw that card on Tuesday. From what I gathered, and if you're starting to look ahead, as I'm sure many of us are, right? It's kind of a kind of a revelation after the weekend that we're going to turn right around. And Tina said to me, which she said last night, when do you go to New York? I said, hey, I go Sunday. So the action next week, it starts Thursday. The Astoria and the Tremont, the two-year-olds, and the Wonder Again, the grade two. That's the three-year-old filly's going nine on the grass. And then on Friday, the Better Roses, the 7/8 filly and mare, and the Gold Cup as well. And, of course, that's the two-mile turf extravaganza, the Intercontinental on Friday. The turf sprint for the fillies and mares, the New York 10 furlongs, the fillies and mares on the grass, and the True North will be on Friday as well. So it's really turned in. You know, they call it a festival. The 3 days really has filled out and become quite nice over the years. We may ride. I hope there's a race for us. Next Friday as well, actually, for Shirzando. Hoping that goes three quarters. And then, of course, the big one, Saturday, Belmont Stakes Day, the Belmont, the Acorn, the Brooklyn, the Met, the Jiper, the Just a Game, the Woody Stevens, the Ogden Phipps, and the Manhattan. Yeah, not so bad. Should be great. Should be great. All right, we're going to get a chance here to visit with Greg Foley, and nothing lights up the Downs like a Greg Foley win. Wisconsin yesterday in the winning colors, and you know, that was part of the cross country, which actually paid very well, and that was in part thanks to Ocala Dreams' upset in the Kingston. That was a big part of it, and there was a chance that Wisconsin, and in fact I mean I wasn't actively picking against her in that spot. However, I thought there was a real threat that Joyful Cadence, the John Ortiz, there was no pace. And I thought on paper, you know what, this Joyful Cadence, she's going to take some reeling in. And she did. I mean, Wisconsin cruised up to her and got by without much resistance, but nice win. And there were quite a few. I'm just thinking about it. There were quite a few horses trying for back-to-back wins over the weekend. We talked with Michael about Smooth Like Straight trying to repeat in the Shoe, and of course, haven't mentioned yet the win, or maybe I did, the win by Temple City Terror in the Kirtana on Saturday. That was very cleverly orchestrated by Brendan Walsh. And here was Wisconsin looking to repeat her win in the winning colors and pulls it off. She's now 6-for-16. This is some nice filly. And $200,000 purse. So another $120,000. She is going to be most likely a millionaire sooner than later for Lloyd Madison Farms and for Greg Foley, who joins us now. Greg, congratulations.
Hey, thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. And I said, as Casey was dialing, I said, nothing lights up the Downs like a Greg Foley win.
Yeah, there were some happy people there. It was a good crowd, good time. Philly ran great and a lot of fun.
Well, and got to bring this in because I was explaining that, you know, I played the cross-country pick five yesterday, and the seventh and eighth from Churchill were hooked up with three of the stakes in New York. And on paper, you had to be a little nervous because there wasn't going to be a lot of pace, and it sure looked like John Ortiz and Talamo had lone speed going with Joyful Cadence, and it felt like Tyler, like you and Tyler, you know, strategized that, you know, don't leave her with too much to do.
Well, you're right. It looked like she was a speed. I thought the two horse could maybe show a little speed, but this filly was just, she was so sharp and ready to go. We were trying to get her ready Derby week, and we just ran out of time. I needed a couple more weeks, and this race was available, so we just pointed for it after we knew we couldn't make Derby week. And she was dead ready and just looks like $1 million this morning. She's just a good, good filly. And Tyler just, you know, I just told him, just ride her with confidence. Which, you know, he's ridden her before. He knows the mare. And I thought she'd probably lay pretty close, just coming off a layoff, being as fresh as she, keen as she's been in her works and that. And anyway, she ran great, and it all worked out.
Well, she's now 6 for 16 and four other placements. I mentioned the money. She's up to $900,000 in earnings. And, you know, what a nice mare this is, boy. You think about it, I'm just, you know, looking at the consistency, too. I mean, really, she's been, it's not like she's one of these horses that's developing. She got good and she stays good.
Yeah, I mean, she's been good from day one, you know.
Yeah.
She, like you said, all through her career, she didn't just get that way. I mean, you know, she ran a good second to Yameen last year. And, I mean, she's been running with race horses her whole career. Just go down the line there. She's been with the best. And it's just, we want to point for the, hopefully we're in, she can prove herself in early November this year. That's the ultimate goal with her this year.
Out of curiosity, well, why don't you address that? I'm going to ask you about the Ballerina, which may be, you know, the best grade one opportunity you know, between now and then, certainly. But you know, is it fair to say that she has not been as good at Keeneland as she's been at Churchill?
Well, she had the two races at Keeneland, and I thought she ran I'll take that back. She's had three races at Keeneland. She ran a good race there in her three-year-old year in the Beaumont. She was a good second to Philly. Came from way off the pace over speed-favored racetrack, which Keeneland can be that away. You know, it can be tough on a come-from-behind Philly. But she ran a good second there, and she ran a big race in the Breeders' Cup 2 years ago at Keeneland when Gamine won the race. And I thought, you know, we got beat a long neck for second. Serengeti Empress and Bells won. We got beat a neck and a nose for second that day, wound up fourth. Gamine won handily. But I thought she should have been second that day. So she's, you know, she's ran good. And then she ran, we ran her into Madison last spring, and I can blame that on myself, maybe. I really loved her that day, and she ran like she needed a race. You know, she just never, I don't know, she just didn't pick her feet up that day for some reason, was the only knock on the running her at Keeneland, maybe, you know. But then she came right back and won the stake at Churchill her next, our next start. So,
yeah.
But anyway.
Well,
she came back and ended second to Gamine, I'm sorry, after that. And then, but she's came out of a race great. You know, I'm happy with her. And she went into this race terrific. I mean, I thought she would win yesterday. You know, you never know till you lead them over there, but the way she went into the race, she gave me all indications she was going to run a big race. And track was quick, you know, but still she ran 108 and won a tick or two off the stake record. And Gaffron was awful happy with her. Tyler, he said she had plenty left. So, and she looks it this morning. She doesn't look tired or like it took much out of her. She licked her tub last night. And she's bright and happy this morning.
Outstanding. Just checked, and the number, the buyer came up in the last little while. 94 buyer for her here.
Okay.
That's solid, right? Nerd, that's her range. That's you got to get her. Got to get her the grade one, Greg. And I mean, is the Ballerina make sense for you as the midsummer, as the summer goal?
It's a possibility. You know, it's gonna sit down and kind of figure out what we want to do, whether we go up there or take our big shot at the grade one in November. Just whatever, you know, just depends on how she's doing, and just want to keep her fat and sassy between now and November, whatever we go.
So. I love it. You know, she's now five, and I am curious, is there anything that came behind her? There's a 2 year old painter filly, it looks like, named Badgeland.
I've got her here at Churchill. Nice filly, you know, she's very early in her training. You know, I've had her a couple 3/8, just taking my time with her. She's kind of a little lighter made filly than Sconson, but pretty filly, little leggier maybe, but moves good. And then being a sister to her, got high hopes for her. And her mother, Sconnie, the Sconson's mama, her name's Sconnie. She's about to drop. She was late getting in full. She's in full to Constitution, and she's about to drop that baby any day now.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
Nice. Because she's, you know, that mare has really had a spotty produce record, Greg, looking at this. I mean, she came off the racetrack. Wow, that'll be only her fifth foal since 2013.
Yeah, she lost a foal or two. Had a little trouble with her getting her in foal, and this is just her. This 2 year old filly's her third foal, I think, actually to make it over to the track. And but anyway. She's, like I said, she's due to foal any day now, and it's late. I don't know, you know, probably gonna have to
breed her.
I hate to pass it up, but as late as it is, probably gonna have to pass this year to get her back in line.
Should also note that I mentioned that Sconson, you know, she's under 100,000 away from being a millionaire, and it looks like she's got dead aim on Champ Ali to bypass the biggest earner for you, and of course over a million for him.
Yeah, just a really good horse, Champ. We had a lot of fun with him. Kind of two awful nice race horses, you know, sprinter types. Talking about that after the race with some people by here last night. Same people own Champ Ali, own this people, Fred Schwartz and Jim Bakke, who make up Lloyd Madison. And they're just, congrats to them. They're a dream to train for. You guys have been with me a long time, and got a really good filly here, and well deserved, them guys.
Wow, and they've under different, you know, under different guises, they've had their share of nice horses. Major Fed is theirs, right?
Major Fed got to lead over the Derby for him, you know, ran kind of in the middle of the pack, but nice horse. We've had some nice horses down through the years, but those Champ Ali and this filly, definitely been the best so far.
I love it. This has been a very, you know, we've talked a lot the last few years. I mean, talk about where are you with Obesos?
Obesos, we had a little ding in him a month or so ago. Nothing bad. He's okay. But we did have to give him about 30 days, which he's about had. Is a little minor deal, and I don't have any spots picked out for him right now, but he's due to go back to the racetrack. We've been tack walking him the past 10 days or so, and you know, he couldn't have went back far at all, if any, really. So we'll be picking something out for him here middle summer.
Okay.
Looks good. Nice horse, really. I think he's a really nice horse.
You know who else we should mention, because I haven't discussed him with you at all, has gone under the radar. How about Stitched, who's 4-for-6 on the year already?
Really, I think a really nice horse. You know, he's been kind of underrated, and he sure ran a bang-up. Well, he ran a big race here opening night, winning the 1X on the turf. And went over to Indiana, beat a couple of pretty good horses, I thought. And I thought he ran a great race. Really nice colt, beautiful colt, young horse. We've got him nominated probably going to go to there's a mile race at Canterbury later this month. I think the 22nd. So I think a buck and a half mile turf. We're going to look at that, and then they have the race here at Churchill also the last day or two, straight three-year-olds, American Derby, I think it's called. It's yeah. 200,000. So we're going to take a look at both those races, probably the Canterbury race. I'd say we'd be big, big favorite, just thinking, you know, and Churchill, you'd have to think the Churchill race would come up tougher than the Canterbury. You never know, but anyway, we're gonna. That'll be one of those. Will be his next stop. But a nice, really, really nice colt, mizzen mast horse. Looks the part and has shown up. And we've already had some fun with him, but I think we'll have some more.
Well, and this is a homebred of Nathan McCauley's.
Yep.
It looks like him, and then he brought some partners in, and I talked to Nathan on Twitter. It looks like they got lucky that this horse RNA'd at Keeneland.
Yeah, I think definitely they did. You know, and we kind of talking with him at the sale last year. I don't him and my oldest son Travis, who's my assistant, they're buddies, and we wound up getting lucky to train this horse, you know, and Nathan
wow.
and a bunch of young guys, and it's a fun group, and Nathan's a great guy, and you know, they may be going to do some pretty good things here in the future.
Greg, I got another couple things I want to bring up, but explain to people for a second, because, and I don't want to juxtapose this against Flightline, who we just talked to John Sadler about, you know, who's had, you know, to really space his races. But here's a horse that you debuted in December as a 2-year-old at Fairgrounds, at December 30th, in fact. So between December 30th and May 18th, this horse has run 7 times.
Yeah.
And essentially, and I'm just looking at the works, you've had 2 little half miles that have been tucked in here. So basically, this horse is running instead of training. And talk about what that, you know, what your philosophy is, because, you know, everybody feels like, oh, nobody runs their horses anymore. And then here's a horse who's thriving on work.
Well, he is. He's a tough colt, very sound, plenty of bone, just a really good moving horse. It loves to train. Actually, if you don't train him, he gets very high in the barn. So this horse takes training and likes it. And like you said, don't have to work him a lot as he's been running. Of course, he doesn't need a lot of works, but he gallops strong every day, and the 7 races since the first of the year is a little more than I run horses also. It's just kind of worked out with this horse. First time we ran, we liked this horse first time we ran him, and, you know, was on the, and he ran terrible. I mean, he got beat 30 lengths for just, you know, we're looking at each other like, how could we be this wrong? And this horse was working terrific in the barn. You know, you're not that far off usually. You know, we called Nathan, man, we don't know what happened. This horse, I just got no doubt he's either just forget it and move on, or he's going to be a bum. One or the other. But, you know, and then we stuck him back in for the tag, and he galloped, you know, on the grass. And then from there on, you see what happened. So he just, but again, he thrives on training. He's a beautiful horse, carries a lot of weight, and very clean leg and sound. A horse you can train, and the boys, you know, I think we spaced his races out enough that he wasn't running back too quick. There, we passed on a race here at Churchill after he won the race at Indiana that that's coming up here in the next few days. I think Saturday, actually, it's a three-year-old turf race. That would have been a little quick on him. But anyway, that's why we spaced it out, maybe the Canterbury race on the 22nd or possibly the Churchill race end of the month.
Well, the horse we're talking about, for those that are that didn't catch the name, it's Stitched, S-T-I-T-C-H-E-D, Stitched, and off the win in the Caesars a couple of weeks ago at Indy, and Florent Giroux aboard for that, and he's 6-for-4. Good story, and a horse to watch.
He's a nice horse. Giroux, you mentioned Flo there. He loved him. He just said how easy he won that race over in Indy, and he's nice. He's pretty excited after the race, Giroux. So, you know, and nice. He's ridden a lot of good horses. So
sure.
He knows he's sitting on one, and he thinks he is.
Well, I've got to ask you about maybe a potential move for Oaklawn, because I understand you're breaking into the Archie Bred ranks.
The Archie Bred ranks?
Tell me about your Arkansas bred that may have come to you by accident.
That we thought was Arkansas bred, or didn't know was Arkansas bred, that wasn't. You heard that story? B.B. Valesky?
The horses that got mixed up between you and Moquette.
That was the craziest thing you ever saw. You got time to listen to the story real quick?
Of course.
Yeah, it was a good one. Anyway, we had to ship everything to Ellis last summer after Churchill to put this turf course in, you know that. So everybody had to pack up and leave, so we packed everything, stabled at Ellis Park all summer. So anyway, got all the two-year-olds, got the horse ID, Tyler, give me a ring. You know, we had, I don't know, a dozen, 12, 15 two-year-olds needed to be tattooed and checked, the new digital checks in that same deal. Anyway, we lined that up. We're bringing them out one after the other, getting them done. Anyway, we bring the kind of orchestrating and having the guys lead them out and back and forth. And anyway, they yell at me and said, "This horse, something's wrong here." I said, "No way. What are you talking about? He just doesn't match up." And I said, "I look at it again. It's got to be Mark Valesky colt out of Keep the Source, the Dam." He said, "No, it isn't. He's coming up. I can't remember the breeding. It was such and such out of such and such." And he said, "Arkansas bred." I said, "Are you kidding me? Are you sure?" He said, "Greg, I've looked at it three times." He said, this is the wrong horse." And then I kind of get to thinking to myself, guy Grady likes my buddy. He breaks a few horses for me over in Indiana. I'll have him two or three. He always has for years. And I know he breaks some horses for Ron Moquette. So I get to thinking, I better call Grady here. So that's where the hunt came from, Grady to me. And Grady, I said, "We got a problem over here." I said, "You ever heard of a dam?" I told him that I had the breeding there. I said, "Did you have any a two-year-old over from Moquette out of this mare by the Arkansas Bridge study?" "Yeah, I did." I said, "Well, I think we got a big problem." "He said, what are you talking about?" I said, "I think I got that horse standing here. I don't have my horse." Mark Valesky out of Keep the Source. He said, of course, he had a heart attack. And I wasn't real happy at the moment myself. And anyway, he said, "I'll call you right back." He called Moquette. And anyway, that was what happened. They both came in there the same day and got the halters or the neck plates switched or whatever. And anyway, I said, "Well, I got Moquette, who he had some horses stabled there at Ellis." And I said, "I don't guess there's any chance my horse is over here at Ellis. We can just switch these things. Be the best thing to do." And called Moquette, and he said, "No, I got your horse here in Arkansas, on his farm there at Arkansas." And And he said, I said, what about him? Is he any county? He said, he's the best Arkansas bred I've ever had. I said, really? I said, well, that's good news. He said, what about mine? I said, ah, he's okay. You know, I just nothing. Haven't got excited. He's, you know, he goes all right. But no kid, man, I hate to hear that. And anyway, it ended up shipping me mine back. And that was a good swap. I think he did lose. He did win at Oakland. I know that. I forget the horse's name. I don't know how I forgot it. But I think he won and he lost him for maiden 10 or now was it 2 for 10 or something at Oakland, Arkansas bred. And mine wound up being B.D. Valesky, who's he's talking about Stitched. He's pretty good at the grass horse in his own right. I'm going to run him. There's just a straight three-year-old race this coming Sunday, the 5th. That's just straight three-year-olds, 5.5 on the grass. He ran second to Clement's horse. I should know his name. He won easy the other day out there. Just galloped in a state. Grass horse, what's his name? You know, Christopher Clement.
Just the other day, the one.
Yeah, in the second thing, Derby Day, Churchill or Oaks Day, or in the three-year-old sprint race, B.D. Valesky.
That was in the water. The horse of Clements that won was Big Invasion on Sunday. Big Invasion.
The 3-year-old on the turf, right?
Yeah. That's the horse. That's the horse with Joel Rosario.
Beat my horse about 2.5 lengths at Churchill, and his horse had kind of a tough trip that day, but mine too. I'm not saying I was going to beat him, but. It made my horse look awful good, him coming back and destroying that field the other day, I thought. But B.D. Valesky, that's him, the Arkansas bred. We could have been.
That's so great. I love it. And Moquette, who's listening, is telling me that the one that you had that was his name is Kilgore.
That's him, Kilgore. Yep, exactly right. That was him. I got the little best of him there. Wrong.
It's so great. Greg, this was a lot of fun, and that's perfect. You know, whenever Moquette's involved, it's something screwy, right?
I don't know. That was the craziest thing ever, man. I know he wasn't happy about it. He said, are you kidding me? He said, I was going to win every Arkansas Rich State race they had over there. I'm sure he would have, too.
You're damn right he would have.
He's a nice coach. He breezed here the other day in the grass. So easy. And he'll be hard to beat Sunday.
Anyway. Nice. Nice half mile Sunday in 49 flat, and
just had him with another horse and never let him run any. He did that just playing around.
Well, Brary Jones bred this one, and it's tag team racing with Brad Kane, Steve Vanovich, and Steve Andright. Nice group. Yeah,
never a good story. I bought that horse for $1,700. September Keeneland. Mark Valesky. Nobody really remembers Mark Valesky. Had his full brother ran yesterday. Ran a good third here on your mark, two other end turf race. He was the first full out of that man. That's why I bought the other horse, B.D. Valesky. I knew that my horse was okay. And anyway, so I'm going to buy him and went up there getting him for $1,700. He's a good colt.
Really nice. Well, the fun stories. And you also, I should mention, in addition, yesterday, early on that card, you won with Busy Echo, too. The dialed-in filly won again. So that was also.
Busy Echo, Brilliant Stable, and tag team. Beat my other filly, Sparkle Hope, beat her a neck. It was ran 1-2 in there.
1-2.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good day. We won the first, then come back, big man. won the stake, and again, On Your Mark was third in a good allowance race. So it was a good day for sure.
They're all good days, more good days than bad. And Greg Foley, always a pleasure. Congratulations, and we'll be watching for Wisconsin and everybody else. And this was really fun. I appreciate it.
All right, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Not at all. Greg Foley, everybody. That's a great story. I tell you, Moquette is, he's like a live wire. He's like after a storm, and there's one of those wires that's sitting there on the ground, come loose and just snapping and crackling and popping. That's Moquette. Thanks to Ron for telling me, ask about his Archy breads. Too funny. 2 hours in, and we've had all trainers today. Let's talk to a horse playing, handicapping pundit, and all around cheery Andy Serling. He's next. Hour three. Back after this.
It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
You betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions, and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts.